Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. We bless Him in the beauty of His holiness. Bless Him, bless Him. Hallelujah. We give You the praise, we give You the praise, we give You the praise, Father. We glorify You, King of Kings, for Your great and mighty, Lord, for You are awesome, for You are omniscient. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We choose to bless You, my Father. We choose to glorify You, King of Kings. We choose to elevate You today, my Father, Lord, this evening that You have given us, my Father, to be in Your presence yet again, my Father. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We worship You, King of Kings. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Rebro zeke rebe zeke rebe kororo bo shikarabande re 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 re. We honor You, Lord. We honor You, King of Kings. We give You the glory, my Father. Thank You, Father, for this evening. Thank You, King of Kings, for giving us another chance to be in Your presence. We give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank You, Father, for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. Thank You, Father, for Your provision. In the name above every other name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, child of God. Bless the name of the Lord. Are you blessed and highly favored? Yeah, somebody usually adds highly flavored as well. Amen and amen. Well, it's very, 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 very nice to have you this evening again at this altar as we congregate again to worship the Lord and exalt His name and glory in His presence and bask in His power, because it is nothing that is comparable to being in the presence of the Lord. David said, I long to be in the presence of the Lord that I may inquire of Him. Hallelujah. And I want to welcome you all for pausing the day, pausing everything that you have been doing to be in the presence of the Most High God. And I know that God is going to touch you, God is going to visit you, God is going to talk to you in the name above every other name. So as we progress into His Word, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that, King of Kings, Your Word comes and touches us, oh Father Lord, and heals us and delivers us and educates us, my Father. King of Kings, the entrance of Your Word brings light. Come and shine Your light, O Father Lord, unto our paths, that we may be the men and women that You want us to become in Your presence, Father God. We humble ourselves under Your tutelage, and I pray that Holy Spirit, You come and teach. I'm getting out of the way that You may have Your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, we had a very good time this afternoon for those of you who managed to be on the lunch hour. And even tonight, God is going to be with us again. He's ready with us here, because He says where two or three are gathered, He is there with them. Hallelujah. Amen. This evening, I want to talk about how to handle adversity. How to handle adversity. In this season in which we are, it's a season of adversity. It's a season where many people have been hit left, center, and right. Many things are happening. People are losing jobs, people are losing loved ones. You know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of adversity. Hallelujah. And when dealing with adversity as a Christian, attitude matters. Attitude towards adversity matters. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet all trials of various kinds. He's saying your attitude should be different. When others are crying, when others are wondering what's going on, you should be joyful. Hallelujah. And in other words, your attitude should be different. That's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 16, He said, you know, in the world you'll have tribulation. In other words, you'll have lots of adversity. But what did He say? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome. Being of good cheer means you are happy. It means that, you know, you are not dejected. You are not despondent. You remain positive, even in the face of adversity. You understand? In the world, there are three kinds of measures that people use when they are measuring people's abilities. One of them is IQ. We have heard of IQ lots of times. IQ measures an individual's intelligence. It measures his cognitive abilities. It measures his reasoning capacity. And they say a person with a very high IQ is very intelligent. Amen. Isn't that so? Yeah, that's true. Then we have another measure called emotional intelligence, because we have found out that most people who are emotionally intelligent, who have got high IQ, are destitute of emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is emotional quotient measures the intelligence emotional intelligence of somebody. It measures somebody's emotional intelligence, and this speaks about things, his ability to understand his own emotions, his ability to manage his own emotions in a positive way, as to relieve stress, as to empathize with others, because we have seen people who have got high IQ, but they are incapable of empathizing with others. In other words, their EQ is very low. Hallelujah. But then there is something that there's another measure that is very, very crucial for every individual, and especially for us Christians, and that is AQ. AQ speaks of adversity quotient. Hallelujah. This speaks of resilience. As a child of God, yes, it's good to have high IQ. Yes, it's good to have high emotional, quotient. But if you do not have a high adversity quotient, you are not going to make it in life. I can assure you, life will squeeze you and swallow you. But people who make it in life are those who have got a high adversity quotient. They are resilient. Hallelujah. They are resilient. And another word for that is grit. They have got a backbone. You have got people, you have heard people say, this guy's backbone is made of steel. Yes, that is another word is fortitude. Another word is persistence. Another word is tenacity. You've got to be tenacious, you know. Unlike IQ and EQ, you know, AQ speaks of stability. It speaks of strength. It speaks of power. Hallelujah. If you are going to win in life, you are going to have to have a very high AQ. You understand? You're gonna have to be strong on the inside. You're gonna have to be powerful on the inside if you are to handle adversity. And especially in the season in which we are right now, we need it. We need it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. It speaks of being sober-minded. Says be sober-minded. In other words, be in control. What is the opposite of being sober? The opposite of being sober is being drunk, being intoxicated. One who is intoxicated is not in control. I used to drink. I know what it means. I drank for a period of over 10 years before I got born again, you know. So I know what it means. Out of control. A person who is not sober-minded is a person who is out of control. And we're not talking about being intoxicated by wine here only, no. We are talking about being spiritually intoxicated, you know, being emotionally intoxicated. A person who does not have self-control of one's senses, being influenced by excessive emotions and desires, that's a person who is intoxicated. But Peter is telling us to be sober-minded. In this season, you need to be sober-minded. If you are going to handle adversity, you have to be sober-minded. You cannot be intoxicated on stuff, intoxicated on emotions, intoxicated on desires, and expect to overcome adversity. No. 1 Peter 1, chapter 13, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. He speaks about our minds being prepared for action. Why? Because there are forces that are against us. There are forces that, you know, that fight against us, that fight our progression, that fight our progress, that fight our success. So if we are drunk or intoxicated with other things, then we cannot fight them. And listen, the battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. If you win the mind battle, then you are more than a conqueror. That's where adversity is won. Adversity is won in the mind. Adversity comes in the physical form, but we have got to beat it in the mind. That's why our minds have got to be sober. That's why our minds have got to be prepared for action. The other versions say, guard your minds for actions. For action, rather. Guard your mind for action. Guard the loins of your mind. Guard the loins of your mind for action. Being sober-minded. Hallelujah. Setting your grace fully. Setting your hope. It says, first setting your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He continues to say, be watchful. Not only being sober-minded, but being watchful. A person who is going to handle adversity and win it has got to be watchful. You've got to be alert. You've got to be awake. You've got to be aware. You've got to be vigilant. Why? Because there's a devil out there who's on the loose. That's what he says. The devil is out there, he's on the loose. What is he doing? He says he's walking up and down, looking for, like a lion, looking for whom to devour. Let me tell you, in this season, I can assure you, there are some people that the devil has devoured. That one I can tell you without a shame, without apology. It's there. People have been devoured. But do you know why they have been devoured? Because they don't have it in them to resist. They don't have it in them to fight. They didn't have it in them to overcome adversity. Adversity came and took them. It came like a flood and swept them away. Hallelujah. Verse 9, he says, resist him. Because the devil is on the loose, what do we need to do? We need to resist him. You need to be a man and a woman of resistance. Resistance means to oppose him. It means to set yourself against him and withstand him, because he's coming to take you out of your stance. You've got to fight him. You've got to resist him. Resistance, my friend. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil will only flee from you when you resist him. Do you understand? And how do we resist him? He qualifies it. He says, being firm in your faith. Being firm in your faith. Being firm in what you believe. You understand? Being resolute in your faith. Being unshakable in your faith, even when he comes and whispers to you and says you are finished, you will never accomplish this. This is for you. This is gone. You still believe. You still believe. That's what our forefather Abraham did. He still believed. At 100 years, he's still believing for a child. And for you, at around 40-something, you have given up. How dare you give up? Who told you that God's promises, come according to age? Age is just a number. Age is not a weight. It's not too heavy for you to carry. Hallelujah. At age 53, I am still believing for things that I did not see in my youthful years. I still have faith. Do you understand? I am unshakable that I will see them. I may be growing gray hair every morning, but I am sure that I will see them before I check out of this universe. I will behold them with my very eyes. Do you understand? I am unwavering in my faith. I am unwavering. I am resolute. I am firm in my resisting the devil. Do you understand? Adversity will not take me out. You understand what I'm saying? And he says in that portion of scripture, Peter, he says, after you have suffered a while, suffering is not forever. Adversity is not forever. This afternoon we're talking about times and seasons. They're not forever. Do you think this heat wave that we are enjoying today is going to last? It's not going to last. just in a few months, a few weeks down the line, you will be, you know, looking for your jackets or for your coats. Wherever you buried them, whether they are in the attic or wherever they are, you will be scrambling to get them, because the season will have turned. Do you understand? The things of the world, the phenomena of the world, should teach us the phenomena of the spirit, the spiritual world. The adversity is not going to prevail in your life forever. It is for a while, child of God. It is a patch, child of God, whatever you're going through. Even this season that we are in right now, this COVID-19 season, it's going to pass. One day it will look for it and will not even see it. We will talk about it as in history. That one I can assure you. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Or you are one of those who are thinking, oh my God, I'm finished. This is the end of the world. Come on. This is for a while. This is for a while. Yes, it is for a while. It says, after you have suffered for a while, I will make you perfect. I will establish you. I will strengthen you. And then listen, he says, I will settle you. I will settle you. So how do we handle adversity? Number one, by prayer. Prayer. That's why you cannot pray enough. You cannot pray enough, child of God. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? It avails much. It is effectual. It is fervent. Effectual and fervent. Many people do not pray when adversity strikes. They fail to pray. They fail to pray. They depend solely on human effort, and of course they fail. If you depend on physical effort, on human effort, you are bound to fail. Why do we pray? We pray because we are asking for help from above. We pray because if you are praying about things that you are able to do, then you are wasting time. You understand? If on a Sunday morning or in the morning, whatever, you're going to go to work, wherever you're going, and you stand before, in front of the wardrobe, and begin to pray, oh my God, Holy Spirit, I ask you, to look for a cloth in this, a piece of cloth in this wardrobe of mine. Get it, Holy Spirit, and put it on me, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I am praying that you will go and look for shoes in my shoe rack. Pick up a pair of shoes for me and put them in my feet, I pray. You are wasting time. Do you know why? Because that is something you can do. So we pray because there's something we cannot do. We are asking for help from above. Do you understand? Luke 18:1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. In other words, that we must always pray and not be discouraged. That we must always pray and not be disheartened. That we must always pray and not be depressed, not be melancholy. The message puts it this way. He says, praying consistently and never quitting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to pray. If you are to handle adversity and win it, you need to be a man of prayer. You need to be a woman of prayer. That's why we have put up platforms for prayer. And some people, instead of praying let me tell you, there are people out there right now who need to be praying right now. They need to be praying, but they are not. Because of what they are going through, they need to be praying. They need to be on their knees. But trust me, they are not. And that is terrible. Prayer changes things and people. Prayer will change things. Prayer will change situations. Prayer will change mountains. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Through prayer, we receive God's comfort and help in time of trouble. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17 says, be cheerful. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. If you're writing that, you can write it down. What does he say? He says, be cheerful no matter what. I like that. Be cheerful no matter what. On what is your cheer predicated? Are you only happy when you know when your bank account is bouncing because some money has hit it? What about when you check and there's just negative, or you're in you know? Are you still cheerful? He says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. Child of God, that is what God expects of you. And that turns the devil's head, you know, spinning. He can't understand such a person. When all hell is breaking loose in their lives, when he has thrown the kitchen sink, he has thrown everything at him, and he sees this person not even flinching, rejoicing, being cheerful at all times. My God, praying at all times, thanking God no matter what is going on. The devil is in a tailspin. He says, this is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. That's what he says. Do you understand that? Prayer. If you want to overcome adversity, you need to be a man or woman of prayer at all times, no matter what. Number two, you need to be a man or woman who stands on God's promises. Standing on God's promises. You cannot stand on God's promises until you have had a revelation of who God is. The reason why people do not stand on God's promises is because they have not yet got a revelation of who God is, of what he is capable of doing. When God says something, he will accomplish it. He says, I send my word. When he sends his word does not go back empty-handed. It does not go back without doing that which he sent it to do. It has got to accomplish it. Do you have a promise from God, child of God? Do you have a promise? Stand on it. Stand on it. No matter what the devil is throwing at you, stand on it. No matter what is going on the inside, hang on to that promise. Hang on to that promise. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. The Bible says, his divine power has granted us all things. How many things? All. His divine power. Not human power. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to, number one, life and to godliness. So anything that pertains to life is sorted. Anything that pertains to your godliness is sorted. But Pastor, I haven't seen it. You don't have to see it to believe. That's why we have a problem. We believe when we see. And that's not faith. You've got to believe it, that it's already sorted. He has already sorted everything, and he has granted to us all things that pertain to your life and to godliness. Through the knowledge. Did you hear that word? Through the knowledge. All this is acquired through the knowledge that they may know him, Jesus Christ, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent, John 17:3. Through the knowledge. You cannot have this without the knowledge of him. You've got to know him. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. When you receive his stuff, when you receive miracles, it's not for your glory. It is for his glory. It is for his glory and his excellence. He says, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, child of God. Not partakers of the worldly nature. No, partakers of the divine nature. Those are promises of God. Those are the promises that you're talking about. Some believers are defeated in times of adversity because they do not appropriate God's promises to their needs. You've got to find the promise. Do you know how many promises can you pick from the Bible that speak to you? Do you understand? The reason why Christians are hit left, center, and right, they cannot even pick a promise from the Bible that speaks about them. They have no promise. So when their backs are against the wall, it's like for them, it's they are finished. They are done. They fall off. But I cannot fall off because I know that He is with me. His promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. God's promises are powerful, child of God. They are powerful. They never fail. They never fail. They can meet the deepest needs of those who believe in them, and they will. That's why 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He cares for you, child of God. He cares for you. He cares for you. In Psalm 91, verse 14, he says, because he or she says, because she says because to the Lord, because she loves the Lord, he says, because He loves the Lord. In Psalm 91, verse 14 to 15, he says, because He loves the Lord, because He loves me, what will He do? What will I do? He says, I will rescue him. I will do what? I will rescue him. That is a promise. Now, when you hit adversity, pull out that promise and say, Lord, I love you. You know how I love you. And you said in your word that you will rescue me. You understand? You are giving him his word back. You are taking him on his word. I will rescue him. I will protect him. That's what he says. Why? Because he acknowledges my name. And he says, he will call on me. When in prayer, he will call on me and I will answer. I will answer him. And he says, I will be with him in trouble. Why doesn't he say, I will take away the trouble? He says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him in trouble, in adversity. The Lord is there. Even when you think He is not there. Yes. Even when you think He's not there, He is there. The Lord is there in the trouble. So never think that you are alone in the trouble. Never think that you are alone in adversity. He is there. And He says, I will do what? I will deliver him. How do I know He's there? In Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2, He says, do not fear. Do not fear. Why? For I have redeemed you. Listen, He's not saying, I am going to redeem you. He has already done it. Do you understand? This adversity is too late. It came late. It came when He has already redeemed you. Redeemed means He has bought you. He bought you. He bought you. Do you understand? That word redeemed speaks about, you know, the slave trade. Slave trade. In slave trade, when a person, there are people who would come and buy a slave, not for the purpose of going to use them, but for the purpose of freeing them. And that word, the word for that redeem is exagorazo. So He would buy a slave from the slave market to free them. That's what God has done for you and I. He has bought us from the slave, from the market of sin. And He has redeemed us. He has freed us. We are free. He says, do not fear when this problem comes, when issues comes. Issues come. Do not fear because I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by your name. You are mine, He says. Therefore, and then He continues, when you pass through the waters, what will happen? I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you. That's what He says. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That's what He says. What's happening there? He's in the fire, isn't He? Today we are reminding ourselves about the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the fire, into the furnace. Three of them are thrown into the furnace, but when the king looks closely, he discovers that there's a fourth one there. The fourth one, he was there even before the furnace. Even before the fire began. Before they threw the boys, He was already there. He does not find you in the fire. You find Him in the fire. God does not find you in adversity. You find Him there. So that He makes it perfect. He makes it easy for you to walk through. Are you listening, child of God? Number three, you need to be a woman of patience. A man of patience. And I normally tell you that today, patience is not in our vocabulary. You find a man or woman standing before a microwave pounding it because it's not warming the food quick enough for them. If you cannot wait for a microwave to warm food for you, you're not going to be patient when waiting for the Lord. You cannot be patient. patient. But let patience. That's what he says in James chapter 1 when he talks about counting it joy when we go through adversity. Because he says, but let patience have her work, a perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be made perfect entire and wanting nothing. Be patient. It is difficult to be patient in times of adversity. Why? Because we become fretful, we become frustrated, as the hardship continues. But we need to know always that whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, our God is going to lift up a standard. Our God is coming. Whenever the adversity increases, know that there's a standard coming. So be patient, because he's not yet finished with you. Not yet. Everything that God allows in your life is for a purpose. Every adversity that comes in your life, you know, it's not just like God was sleeping and it took him unawares, and by the time he woke up, he found you in trouble. No. He allows it for a purpose. That's why he says, let patience have its way, its perfect work. He allows it for a purpose. So we should look for the good in each trial, and we should wait patiently. We should wait patiently for his work to be worked in our lives. In every trial, there is something good. I dare say that even in this season that we are in, although people are losing, some people are losing relatives, we are losing jobs, but there is some good out of it. There is some good out of it. How do I know? Romans 8:28 says, and we know, we have not heard of it, but we know that in all things, not some, all means all, that in all things, the good and the bad, they are working in tandem, they are working together. The good and the bad. He says, and in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Did you hear that, child of God? Yeah? Yeah. Patience. The next one, number four, perseverance. You have to be a person of perseverance. Person and man of perseverance. You're going to go into Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. We are talking about Paul. We want to borrow a leaf from Paul's life. Are we there? Or you're writing it down? You can write it down. Yeah, because time is not on our side. I will send these notes on the website. I haven't done. I'll send them for you. Don't worry. What does he say? This is Paul, the great apostle. He's saying, brethren, I do not count myself to have what? To have apprehended. But one thing I do. This one thing he does. He forgets those things which are behind and reaches forward for the things which are ahead. He forgets the failures of yesterday. He forgets the pitfalls of yesterday. That is in the past. Stop dwelling in the past. You understand? Stop dwelling in the past. Yesterday you failed, yes, but you know, gather yourself up and, you know, dust yourself up and take another step. He says, I press forward. I press toward the goal. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He is persistent. Though he failed yesterday, he is persistent. This life is like a mountain, like a mountain. We are climbers. We are meant to be climbers. You climb, you know, 12 steps, and then adversity comes and hits you, and you slide back nine steps. What do you do? Most people give up. But you're not supposed to give up. You're not a quitter. You are a climber. You need to keep on climbing. You fall 7 steps back, but you keep on climbing. You come back. You come back. Somebody say, I come back. Yes, you come back. We remember this film of the Terminator. He says, whenever he would be, you know, beaten, he would say, I will be back. He never gives up. He goes to regroup and comes back. Do you understand? Many give up when trouble strikes. When trouble strikes, many give up. They begin to blame God or other people. Because it's because of God, or it's because of these people, it's because of so and so. No. It's not. There's no time for blaming. There's no time for, you know, for playing all those games. Just dust yourself up and get climbing again. We must be persistent and keep working to improve difficult situations, whatever they are.
we keep moving. We must have faith that God will see us through them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is what? Is faithful. We hold on to our faith. Yes, the devil comes and takes and pulls us back and we regress 7 steps after making 5 steps or 2 steps. I am not going to give up. You may have thrown me back, but I can still climb and regain that which I have lost. Persistence. You persist. Be a man and woman of persistence. Lastly, be a man and woman of praise. Praising God. Praising God in everything. That's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, in everything. Not in some things. In everything. In everything. Give thanks to Him. Why? Because that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is a command. It is a command. Giving thanks is a command. But sometimes it is difficult to obey. How can one praise God in the midst of adversity? You remember that psalm, I think it's Psalm 127, I forget, 137, when the children of Israel are told to sing a song in a foreign land. And they say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They had hung up their harps. The devil should never take away your praise, child of God. Praise the Lord anyhow, for He loves you. He died for you. When you praise Him, you look for the good and not the bad. In every situation, there is something to praise God for. Praise brings you victory. Paul and Silas, they are in a prison. They are thrown not only in a prison, but in the deeper recess of the prison. Even in the deeper prison, even in the inner prison. Acts 16 says the prison in which they were put was the inner one. And on top of that, they were fasted, their feet were fastened in stocks. Why were they in prison, you ask? They were in prison because they had been preaching the gospel. Do you know what they could have done? They could have gotten in that prison and begun to complain against God. Where were you, God? We were preaching your gospel. How dare you let them arrest us? How dare you let them put us in a prison like this? How are we here, you powerful God? Wouldn't you stop that from happening? No, they did not whine. They did not complain. What did they do? They chose to sing. They chose to praise Him. They chose to pray. Choose to sing. Choose to praise the name of the Lord. Stop complaining. Hallelujah. And because they praised God, the Bible says the prison, you know, the fetters, the chains began to move, to let go. They broke. When you praise the Lord in adversity, you break chains. If you are the person, the sort of person who praises God only when things are okay, you have not yet made it. You are still in nursery. You are still in elementary school. People who praise God are people who praise Him even when things are not going well, even when they are in inner prisons, even when they are in adversity. Praise the Lord at all times. Did you hear that? Do those 5 things. And you will be a conqueror in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank you, Father, Lord, for this evening. We glorify you, King of Kings, for who you are. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that even in adversity, you are there. You're going to help us, King of Kings, as we continue to pray, as we continue to be patient, my Father, Lord, as we continue to persevere, my Father, King of Kings, as we continue to praise in the name above every other name. We know that you will be with us and you will see us through in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, I am praying for your daughters. I am praying for your sons, that even in this season, my Father, you will see them through in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Adversity will not take them out. Rather, they will be on top of every situation because you are with them. They are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You will overcome, child of God. You are going to overcome in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Whatever the enemy throws at you, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Him who died for you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I speak you on top of your situation right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I pray a canopy over you. I pray protection over you, over your children, over your family, now and forevermore, in Jesus' mighty name. Arise, that those of you who had fallen down, arise, those of you who had given up, arise and fight, arise and keep climbing until you get to the top, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You will conquer, you will accomplish, you will praise God, you will testify about his goodness, even in this season. We give you the praise, in Jesus' mighty name we pray, and somebody shouts amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.